give, you are being like Jesus, and you are being the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen? Our children could be dismissed to church now. And I may go join them. They're going to look like they're going to have fun with it. Do you have no special? So I'm a special?
That was a special.
All right, good deal. I'm ready to go. Hey, open your Bibles with me this morning. Matthew, the 5th chapter. We're going to continue in our series on the Beatitudes. It's really the Sermon on the Mount. It's the greatest sermon ever preached. And so this morning I want us to pick up in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Number of years ago, I got interested in reading of history and things like that. I was a very poor history student, and so I'm a late bloomer. But I saw a book, and I really kind of got interested in our presidents. And so Ronald Reagan was one of about 5 presidents that we've ever had that actually kept memoirs, kept notes daily of his time in the office. And so I got a copy of that. It's been real interesting just to kind of read his notes of things and how things were going politically in those days and things that he would write about his wife when she was away and things like that. And just kind of some behind-the-scenes things that were going on. If you remember, President Reagan, in March of 1981, was about to go and speak, and there was a young man by the name of John Hinckley that shot him. And when all of that went down, the Secret Service agents grabbed him, and one of them dove in the car with him on top of him. And he said when the guy dove in on top of him, he said, "Man, I thought the guy had broken my ribs." He said, and then he realized that he had been shot. And in his notes, he writes this. He said, "I tried to breathe. It seemed I was getting less and less air. I focused on that tiled ceiling and I prayed." He said, "But I realized that I couldn't ask for God's help while at the same time I felt hatred for the mixed up young man who had shot me." He said, "And I began to pray for his soul." He says, "Getting shot hurts. Not forgiving hurts worse." Powerful, right? His daughter would write later about this incident. She said, "The following day, my father said he knew his physical healing was directly dependent on his ability to forgive John Hinckley. By showing me that forgiveness is the key to everything, including physical health and healing, he gave me an example of Christ-like thinking." And we live in a world today who needs to see mercy demonstrated. It's easy for us to come to church and talk about it. It's easy for us to come to church and sing about it, right? And to celebrate the mercy that God has demonstrated to us. But God is calling us in these Beatitudes that we should have this attitude of mercy as well. So that's what he says here in the 7th verse. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." That they shall obtain mercy. Now being merciful, it refers to someone who is actively compassionate. Someone who is engaged in showing benevolence and showing kindness. Maybe you know those kind of people. You drive down the street, you see somebody, and they're broke down, and their car's overheated or something, and something's going on, and you look and you go, "Wow, man, they're having a bad day. Glad my car's running." And we just keep right on going, right? I'll tell you how God works. I prepared for this, and then yesterday we were coming home and we stopped at a place to get some gas, and there was a couple that pulled in behind us, and they came and they started asking me for gas, and my thought was, What are you doing on the road if you don't have money in the first place, right? There's every reason to say, why are you in this situation? Why are you asking me for something, you know? And I thought, and you need to go get up in the morning and preach about being merciful, right? Be ready. This week, God's going to put it in your lap. He's going to put it in your lap this week to say, hey, you went to church, you heard the sermon, you talked about it, you prayed about it, you wondered if God would ever give you the opportunity to show mercy, and here's your opportunity. Someone described it as maybe being mercy full. That is, that we're so full of mercy that we're looking for opportunities to be able to demonstrate that mercy to others as the Lord. The Bible says in Lamentations 3 and verse 22, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Aren't you grateful that all of the mercy that God will show you today, when you wake up tomorrow and you need another day full of mercy, God's mercies will be fresh and anew for the day, right? So when we're called, when we're challenged then, when we're instructed then to be merciful so that we might receive mercy, we have to understand what it is that God's talking about in showing mercy. And we see that evident and an example of that in the prayers and in the life of Jesus Himself. You think about when Jesus prayed, when He taught the disciples how to pray. He said, you should pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Forgive us our debts. Finish it for me. As we forgive our debtors. God, show us mercy while we show mercy to others. We have to look at Scripture and we have to understand when Jesus was being crucified on the cross, and being beaten and mocked and ridiculed, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's that type of mindset. It's that type of heart. It's that being merciful that God is challenging us, that Jesus is challenging us here in these words. And so it helps us to understand the character of who Jesus is and how Jesus demonstrated mercy and how He expects us to demonstrate mercy. Okay? We're all on the same page? We understand? We understand the basis of where Jesus is coming from, right? Okay? Now let's be honest with each other. Here's my problem with this. Okay? I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. I'm not near spiritual as some of you, okay? So I have a problem with this sometimes. Be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Here's what my problem is. I've been merciful to people only to have them be so unmerciful back to me. Can I get a witness? Right? Let's think about it this morning. But let's be honest. When we look at life, we think about the fact that, hey, oftentimes it doesn't seem as though we have this mercy reciprocated back to us, right? The Bible says in Luke 6 and verse 31 says, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them. We ought to treat others as we want them to treat us, right? That's what the Bible says. And yet when we treat others that way, it doesn't seem as though we get it back all the time. You see, we live in a world today, and our beatitude is this. Treat others as they treat you. Right? Man, if you're going to get me, I'm going to get you. We live with this beatitude. Get before you're gotten. Come on now. Y'all not that spiritual. I know some of you, okay? Come on now. We live with this attitude. We want to get before we're got. And so this verse has been wrongly understood to mean that as believers, that we're to be merciful toward others so that they will treat us the same way. That's not really what God's telling us here. That's really not what the truth of this text is, okay? This is the great truth of life. If people see us care, then they'll care for us, right? There's something intriguing about that, but there's something that's not necessarily true about that. It's somehow we think that we can manipulate people. We think we can manipulate God when we can say, hey, you know what? I'll be good to you and you be good to me. God's Word says stuff about this. In James, he says, you know, when you feed somebody, when you're good to somebody, and you invite somebody over to eat because you know that in return they can invite you over to eat, and they'll probably feed you better than what you fed them, right? See, we're trying to kind of like manipulate it. Hey, if I pat you on the back, you pat me on the back. I scratch your back, you scratch my back, right? We try to manipulate people, and we kind of try to manipulate the system and all those kind of things, and we use verses like this to do that. That's not exactly what God's telling us here. Think about it. It wasn't true in Jesus' life, was it? I don't think it was very true in Jesus' life. Listen, if there was anyone who was ever merciful, it was Jesus, right? Jesus was merciful. When you look at Scripture over in John in the 8th chapter, there was this woman who was caught in adultery. And they bring her to Jesus and they say, hey, this woman's been caught in adultery. And what do you think about this? The Bible says, or the Scripture says, we ought to stone her to death. And Jesus nails that and starts writing in the dirt, remember? And everybody kind of leaves and drops their stones and walks away. And Jesus says, where's your accusers? And she said, well, they've all left. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Did Jesus demonstrate mercy to her? Greatly, right? You think about another scripture. You look over in Mark chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the tax collectors and the sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with publicans and sinners? See, Jesus was a guy who went out there and hung out with the people that were kind of outcasts. They were looked down upon. Jesus always showed mercy to them. From the very start to finish of Jesus' life, it was a life full of mercy. If there was anyone who was ever mercy full, it was Jesus Christ. And yet this very Jesus is the one they crucified. This very Jesus is the one that they mocked and ridiculed. John MacArthur points this out. He says, two merciless systems, the Roman system and the apostate Judaism, mercilessly came together to kill the merciful Son of God. The totalitarianism of merciless Rome was characterized by intolerance. And joining them was the merciless Pharisaic, external Jewish, apostate religious system that couldn't tolerate him because he spoke the truth. And without mercy, they came together to execute him. The one who showed mercy received anything but mercy. In fact, I envisioned this. When Jesus was on the cross and they were crucifying him and they were you know, mocking him and ridiculing him, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But when he's on trial and they're saying, hey, crucify him, crucify him. I think some of the very people in that crowd who were hollering, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, were some of the same people who maybe had a relative that had been healed by Jesus. I think maybe it was some of the relatives, and maybe even been the very same people that Jesus healed, maybe that he cast out the demons, some of the lepers that he had healed, some of those people that were ungrateful. They were the same ones who were calling out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Why do you think that, preacher? Because I know people. Hello? I hate to tell you this, but we live in a merciless society. And we really don't know how to demonstrate it. Listen, there have been many times I've been in the hospital praying with people, and I've had people with cancer and anoint with oil and pray, God heal and God sustain. I've been at the deathbed with people and praying with them, with their loved ones, and walked through them through the valley of the shadow of death and spent time with them, and they're the very ones who get the most upset at the preacher. That's people, right? And so, obviously, this is really, when we think about, blessed are the merciful, so they shall receive mercy, there's got to be something else there. There's got to be some deeper truth there that, that he's talking about. So what is it then that the Lord is saying? He's not just giving us a principle of human life that kind of sort of always works. What he's saying is to us who have been guilty sinners, wretched, miserable, lost, he has demonstrated mercy to us by coming and dying on the cross for our sins. For those of us who would reject and say no, go away, he shows mercy and patience and long-suffering, and he continues to deal with us. He continues to knock upon our heart's door. He's expressing his willingness to pardon and to save us. He sends his Spirit to convict us. He sends his Spirit to sanctify us and all those things. And so when he talks about the fact that blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall receive mercy. It's saying that we then experience and we grow in our understanding of the mercies of God. Listen, God loves to pour out mercy. Amen? And I'm grateful. Listen, the Bible says in Micah chapter 7, in verse 18, notice this. He says, Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because, look at that, because he delights in mercy. It's like God, listen, we know God never sleeps, he never slumbers, okay? But it's like every new day, God's like, who can I show mercy to today? And I got all of this mercy to give away. Who wants it? And he's looking, he delights in giving mercy. I think about verses like 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some consider count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I've heard people say, well, I hear these preachers preach about Jesus coming back again one day. It's been over 2,000 years, and he hadn't come back yet. I just don't think he's coming back. Brother, you better thank God that he hadn't come back in 2,000 years yet. Amen? The reason that he hadn't come back yet is because he's merciful, and he's long-suffering, and he's giving you another day and another opportunity to receive his mercy, to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's out of his mercy that he hasn't come back. It's out of his mercy that he's patient, long-suffering, and giving us another opportunity. Every day of our life, each hour and every moment that we partake of this mercy, this undeserved mercy, we grow in our understanding of God's love and grace and mercy to us. All the blessings we enjoy is because of God's mercy. And so, when he says, blessed are those who show mercy, for they shall receive mercy. What he's really saying is, look, God's shown you mercy. So to imitate him, if you're going to have the mind of Christ, if you're going to be like Christ, then you need to show mercy as well. We imitate Christ to others when we show mercy, even if we don't expect to get mercy back from that individual. We know we've already received mercy. We've already received mercy for the mercy that we're going to show. So in a sense, we're showing Christ to people in a physical sense, in an emotional sense, in a spiritual sense. We're sharing the mercies of God. When you show mercy to the poor, when you show mercy to those that are down and out, when you show mercy to those who are even guilty and deserving of their punishment, we're still showing mercy, and we're showing the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We do compassion, what we call compassion ministries. Okay? For the last year and a half, we've been meeting on Wednesday nights, and we've been just kind of evaluating our community, evaluating our church, really kind of evaluating our hearts. What's God's purpose? What's God's mission? What's God's plan for us? What is unique about us here at Trinity? And how does God want to use us in this community? And we've kind of come up with a mission statement that Trinity Baptist Church is on mission to love people, to live in community, to meet needs, and to give hope. And if you want to give the hope of Jesus Christ to a guy who's hungry, you feed him. If you want to give the hope of Jesus Christ to a guy that's thirsty, you give him a glass of water. If you want to give a guy the hope of Jesus Christ who's down and out, you give him a hand up. I love the book of James. James is a half-brother of Jesus. And James, in the little book of James, 5 chapters, James actually gives us a commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. He kind of helps us to put the Sermon on the Mount into action. Now listen to what James writes in James chapter 2 in verse 15. He says, if a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. He's calling us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. He's calling us to show mercy. And he's telling us, well, here's how you demonstrate mercy. When you feed, when you clothe, when you give water, when you minister to people, you're showing the mercy of God to them. And God, in return, shows mercy to you. He reveals his mercy to them. And we just kind of revel then in his mercy. You say, to preacher, that's impossible. It is impossible. In our human nature, it's impossible. But in the Spirit of God, it's impossible. Right? It's impossible through us. It's the mercy of God that we've received flowing through us and out to others. And as we show mercy, God gives us more mercy to show. And as we share that mercy with others, we just get more mercy to share. And we grow in our grace and in His mercy. It's supernatural. It's this mercy that God wants to share with us. It's not that we receive mercy from others, but we relish in His mercy. Think about it. Bible says in Psalms 18, verse 25. Let me close with a bunch of verses here this morning. Psalms 18, verse 25 says, with the merciful, you shall show yourself merciful. You see, God demonstrates His mercy to us in the fact that Christ has already died on the cross for us. But it's only when we begin to show mercy that we really begin to understand what mercy is. And then we really begin to understand how merciful God's really been to us. And the more we grow in our understanding of how God's been merciful to us, then the more merciful we can be to others. And then the more merciful that we are to others, the more we grow. Are y'all getting this? Come on. We grow in the mercies of God. It's mercy that is spared. I love Matthew 6 and verse 14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. It's a mercy that spares us from what we deserve. It's a supply of mercy. Proverbs 19 and verse 17 says this, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. Have you ever thought about it when somebody needs something and you go, yep, they're never going to pay me back. I'm never going to get this money back. Guess what? You'll get it back. You won't get it from them, but you'll get it from the Lord. And He'll pay you back way more than they ever could have. And what God gives you in return, you'd rather have than what they could give you in return. The Bible says it's also a sustaining mercy. Psalms 41 and verse 2 says, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he will be blessed on the earth. He will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. It's a sustaining mercy. It's the fact that he gives us this hedge of protection mercy. It's also mercy in that day. Listen to me. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18 says this. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. One day we're going to stand before God. We're going to give an account. And he's going to show mercy to us. Praise God. Because we've received his mercy, we show mercy to others. in Matthew, Jesus tells the story about those that would be on the right and those that would be on the left of the kingdom. And the king will say to them, there in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, then the king will say to those that are on his right hand, come, you blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. And when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And when I was a stranger, you took me in. And when I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was sick, you visited me. And when I was in prison, you came to me. Then a little later in verse 37, they said, well, when did we ever see you, Lord, in prison? In verse 40, he responds, he says, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. You see, when we show mercy, we're actually showing God gratitude for the mercy that he's given to us. And then in that day, praise God, we're able then to receive mercy from him. That ultimate mercy in that ultimate day. Several years ago, I was home. It was just a slow day, okay? I was channel surfing, trying to find something to watch. And I came across this channel, and it was showing the Louisiana Parole Board hearings. I told you it was a slow day. And I stopped. I don't know why, but I stopped. I thought, this ought to be interesting. And it wasn't in some fall season or something. It wasn't anything on sports that I wanted to watch. So I started watching this program. And they were having a parole hearing for this man who had actually pled guilty to aggravated assault and carjacking. And as the practice is for the parole board, they allow the victims to speak to whether or not, give their opinion on the person being released. And so, through the process, they call this young lady up to the stand. Her name is Carla. And they called her up to the stand to have her moment. Carla was blonde-headed. Carla's hair draped across the left side of her face. To cover the wound from the gunshot. And I immediately thought, I know her. Carla sat in the front row, center of our church in Shreveport for years, her and her husband. Carla and her husband both spent time in prison. And God showed great mercy. And in Carla's statement, she says this, even though I still have two bullets in my body, I hold no ill will toward my offender. And I have forgiven him, and I do not oppose his release. She said, the events of that day changed my life. Changed some things for bad, but ultimately changed all things for good. Through those series of events, she came to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. God had delivered her out of a life that was doomed and damned for an eternity in hell, and saved her. And her husband was in prison, and he got saved. When they got out, man, they had committed their life to Christ, and they were in our church. Huge sanctuary, 1,600 people every Sunday, and they sat front row center section. They didn't know it was against the law to sit on the front row of the Baptist church. And they ran our bus ministry to pick up kids whose moms and dads wouldn't bring them to church. Let me imagine for just a moment this morning. One day I'm going to step out of this life. And I'm going to step into the spiritual realm of life. And I'm going to stand before the Father. And Jesus Christ, my advocate of mercy, will be standing at my side. And the Father said, why should I let you into my heaven? And Jesus would say, Father, have mercy on me. I forgive you. And I am not opposed to you letting him into heaven today. That's the great mercy of God. That's the mercy that God wants to give you this morning. That's the mercy that God is extending and that God desires for you to receive today. If you've never experienced the mercy of God, you have no idea what it means to show mercy. You can't give mercy that you haven't received. And so this morning, God's desire is that you receive the full mercy of God this morning. Would you bow with me today? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Would you just, in your moment alone this morning, without being distracted, God this morning, thank you for your mercy. Do you know that you know that you know this morning? That you've experienced the great mercy of God. Maybe this morning you say, Pastor, I've been to church. I've learned about Jesus. But I've never accepted the mercy. I've never received the forgiveness of my sins. And today, I ask God to forgive me. Come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. To change me today. That be your prayer this morning. Father God, today we love you, we praise you, we give you glory and honor. God, I thank you for your mercies. God, I thank you for your mercies that are fresh and anew each day. And I thank you, Father, for the mercy that you demonstrated on the cross when Christ died for our sins. And Father, this morning, if there's one that's watching, one that's listening, one in this place today, God, who have never accepted and received your mercy. God, I pray that today would be that day. God, I pray today that they would experience deliverance from bondage. God, that they would be set free from their captivity. And God, today they would experience mercy full. God, today we'll celebrate, we'll rejoice, and we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Father, we love you. We ask you all this in Christ's name. This morning, Mike's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. As we stand and as we sing, would you come today? Would you receive the full mercies of God this morning? You come right now. God for you this morning. Be the hands and feet of Jesus this week. Show mercy. God bless you richly. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, small groups tonight, 5:00. And I understand our groups are not going to meet here tonight, but they're going to meet in other places. And so Sandy and Billy, their small group, I think, is going to be meeting at Fox's. And Brother Chris's small group and the group that I've been meeting with, we're all going to be meeting at Duke's tonight. So, hey, if you've never been to a small group, tonight would be the best night to come. We'll feed you, we'll celebrate, and just come hang out with us. We're building relationships, living in community with each other, praying for one another, trying to build each other up, growing in the grace and the knowledge of God. And so come be a part of one of those groups tonight. I know that God will bless you richly. Okay. Also, I've had several people ask, and so I'll just share this. Be in prayer for Miss Brenda, Rhonda's mom. Be in prayer for their family. Miss Brenda is not doing well, and just time is of the essence. And so just pray for them today. Pray for God's mercies. Pray for God to be tender and merciful and gentle and kind during these hours. And so just continue to pray for them, Brother Meekly, Belinda, Kelvin, her brother and sister. So pray for the family today as well, okay? Hey, listen, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Yes, what a joy and what a privilege we've had to have you here with us this morning. We pray that God's blessed you richly for being here. We want you to come back and be with us again. Okay. Hey, let's sing something this morning. If we believe, my life is in you.
Thank you for the message, Brother Bill.
My life is in you.